It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when the two disciples of John saw Jesus and followed him to where he was staying. It seems like a pretty minor detail for John to include, and it made me wonder, what's the big deal about 4 o'clock? Those of you who are into what the British tabloids have to say, and with Megxit, they have a lot to say, you might think maybe it was tea time. In all John's gospel talk about darkness and light, I found myself wondering whether it was a summer 4 o'clock p.m. when the sun is still high, or if it was a winter 4 o'clock when light is much more ready to give way into darkness. Preacher Caroline Lewis suggests it's not really the hour that's important, it's what happens in that hour which makes the time important. For most of the significant moments of your life, you can remember pretty closely the hour of day when it happened. People say things like, I remember the specific moment when he first said that he loved me. I remember the exact moment she walked across the stage to receive her diploma. I remember the particular moment when I heard my diagnosis. I remember the precise moment when I heard about, and you can fill in the blanks. Whether it was something as delightful as a first kiss or traumatic as watching the planes collide into the World Trade Center, our bodies and minds make records of the times that changed our lives. While we were on vacation at the start of the new year, I lost my watch. I didn't lose it by misplacing it, which it would pretty much make it an ordinary Thursday. No, I happened to be jumping off of a natural 5-meter-high cliff into sparkling waters below when the band of my watch unbuckled and the watch sank to the sandy bottom of the salty river. I didn't even notice at first because Kai was right behind me, fearless, jumping into the water with even less hesitation than I had shown before. It was only when I swam to the shore that I noticed the bareness of my wrist. So I tried to snorkel and dive down to the bottom a few times, sweeping the sand with my hands. But besides a few tropical fish looking back at me, I didn't find anything before the limits of my breath had me rising to the surface for that gasp of air. Since that happened, I've mostly gone without a watch. The watch I lost was, for me, a pretty fancy watch. It was a smart watch. And so it not only told me the time, but it also sent me text messages, recorded my heart rate and minutes exercising, and it nagged me when I sat at my desk too long. And all that's helpful, especially since I've been trying to build practices in my life to help me be more physically active and healthy. But sometimes it gave me the sense that I was simply tracking time but not fully being present in it. And so I have to admit, it's felt a little freeing to not have my watch bound to me, and I don't know if I'll get another one. I had a professor in college who didn't believe in taking pictures. He said that fiddling with a camera took away from his ability to be perfectly, fully present in the moment. I take too much joy in looking back at my pictures and reliving the moment to agree with him, but I can see his point. You don't want the instrument used to record a moment to upstage or be more important than living in the moment itself. For the two disciples, it was Andrew and either his brother Simon or another disciple. They remembered it was 4 o'clock, not because their watches or the village sundial told them so. They remembered the time because that is the moment that their lives were changed completely. "Where are you staying?" they asked him. He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. Within those three sentences from the first chapter of John, the verb to stay, to remain, is used three times. In Greek, it is the word meno, to abide. Used no less than 40-plus times in John, this is the primary word used to describe the intimate relationship into which Jesus invites us. To abide is to belong. To abide is to be saved. To abide is to be assured of a future with God. No wonder they remembered 4 o'clock in the afternoon. To abide is to feel a real and committed relationship. Can you remember a time when you abided with Jesus or he with you? I've spent the weekend doing lots of abiding as we've been keeping vigil over my father-in-law as he passes from this life into the next. Knowing these are the moments that will be etched into Chris's mind forever, I'm trying to be fully present in that time with Chris and our family, with Kai, on a weekend when we are reminded that time is precious and time is limited. It's the kind of time when the things we wish were in our control aren't, and the things we wish weren't in our control are. Like my daughter tearfully begging God to let her Lolo live till her 8th birthday, we wish that were in our control, but it isn't. Or the decisions that will probably have to be made about when the many machines and tubes keeping my father-in-law barely alive should be shut off. We wish we did not have to control that time, but we do. And the decision is complicated by the unavailability of the palliative care team, which can provide the kind of support to make that transition off those machines peaceful and not traumatic for him or his family. We don't have control over the fact that the weekends are the time the palliative care unit is off. But here's what we do have control of: family being together with one another and letting that be the top priority. When someone dies or is dying, it's okay to take off the watch and be in a different kind of time. Other responsibilities get second or third or fifth place, which is why I canceled the officer's retreat yesterday. We see this later at Jesus' death, when the disciples gathered together in the upper room to mourn, or the women sat vigil at the garden tomb. Martin Luther King Jr. had a sense that his time was limited. He likely did not know that he would be shot at 6:01 p.m. Central Standard Time, though for the people in the pews who were alive in this country then, that time is probably etched into your brains and memory. But by the time King had arrived in Memphis, Tennessee, to support the labor movement's striking workers, he had already endured a porch bombing, many death threats, including one on an airplane he was on, and he had preached his own eulogy at Ebenezer Baptist Church. He had told his parents to expect that he would have an early and violent death. Still knowing this, he persevered, saying, "It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment." Martin Luther King said in his I Have a Dream speech, given before 250,000 people gathered on the National Mall. And so he continued his message. "We've got some difficult days ahead," he told the crowd in Memphis the day before he died. "But it really doesn't matter to me now because I have been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anyone, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we, as a people, will get to the promised land. In the Greek language, time gets distinguished in two different ways. Chronos refers to time as in minutes and seconds. It's 4 o'clock. Look at your watches now. Tell me what time it is. 11:09, 11:06. Some of you are fast, some of you are slow. But there's another kind of time, kairos. King knew how significant time could be when a moment gets fleshed out with the Holy Spirit. And he found a way to be radically present in that moment in ways that drew others in as well. And he used that moment to change the course of history, as Jesus did long ago. The prophet Isaiah said, "The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he called my name." I suspect that's true of each of us. God has called each of us by name. And there will be moments in our lifetime where we can live into the power of time in order to meet the calling that God has summoned for us. The officers whom we will soon ordain and install, serving in roles of elders and deacon, will have to pay attention to time. They'll need to plan ahead and attend meetings on the right time and date. They will need to fulfill their responsibilities on time, whether that means submitting budget sheets or setting up communion on the dates we've planned, or making sure that they show up as a greeter on the months that they commit to serve. But they also need to pay attention to the other kind of time, the kairos time, when God calls them to live into the moment and to let the Spirit occupy what they say and do. That may be through showing up for a church member whose loved one is dying, or it may be helping the church respond to a mission need in the world that speaks to the calling of our congregation in unexpected ways, or supporting a new generation of leadership in meaningful ways before they get burned out and drift away. Will our church be a place where we have moments we will remember for the rest of our lives? Will there be moments where we can say that we have met or followed Christ himself? Come see. And abide with Christ. Amen.